I will.
All right, Matt, thank you.
I will. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for how much you love us, how much you care for us, and that you care to see us blessed in this life and obviously blessed in life eternal, which is going to be great. Thank you so much for your word and that you are truth and that your word is completely to be trusted, that, you know, it's impossible for you to go back on your word. So for having given us all your promises and, you know, the whole story of redemption and about Jesus Christ, the gospels that we have, his teachings, and the church epistles that are written to us to give us the basics of who we are in Christ and what you are in Christ to us. So thank you so much for that to be a firm foundation that we can stand on and live by. So thankful for that. Thank you, Father, for all the blessings that you have given to us, that you have promised us, that we can lay hold on and claim in our lives, all those promises of health and prosperity. And that, like I said, you're so concerned about all the details of our lives and that we are blessed. And so thank you for just continuing to lead us and guide us, help us to understand the depths of your word more and more each and every day. And just thank you for taking care of us, you know, guarding us from all bad things and keeping us safe and sound. So thank you for all this in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Anyone else?
Me. Well, Heavenly Father, I truly thank you for this fellowship. I thank you that we never take it for granted because we're so used to the goodness of your word being present and we practice it every day. I just thank you that we just find new sparks in our life, in our hearts, so we can continue to believe. I thank you for this and how you love us dearly. I thank you for your son and all he did. I really appreciate him obeying you because he loves you. And I thank you, Father, that we all can do the same. Thanks for this in your son's name. Amen.
And Father, I thank you for this time that we have to be together. Thank you, God, that you continue to guide and direct our steps each and every moment of every day, that you continue to have your hand of blessing upon our lives, to lift us up, to direct us, to continue to encourage us to trust you the way you continue to stay faithful to everything that you have spoken, everything that you have had written, everything that you are faithful to. And thank you, Father, that you continue to uphold us with your strong hand. Thank you, Father, for continuing to protect each and every one of us and guard us from those fiery darts of the adversary that are continually coming at us day by day in this stupid world. Thank you, Father, that we can continue to trust in you and in the reality that we are your sons and daughters and that we are the apple of your eye. We are the ones that you have engraven upon the palms of your hands, and that you have loved us so, and that you have continued to manifest your love and your grace to us each and every moment of every day. Father, thank you that we continue to have the eyes to see these great blessings that you have for us, the ears to hear your still small voice, and Father, the mouth to speak of your goodness and your grace day by day to those that we encounter, regardless of the situations that are around us and the challenges that we face. We know that you're faithful. We know that you are true, and that we know in our hearts that you are our Father, and nothing can change that. So Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you that we continue to see your great blessings, the great signs, miracles, and wonders following us as we look to you and look only to you as our source of sufficiency and strength in all things. Thanks, Father, for your wonderful Son, Jesus Christ, and how great, great a Son he was to you and is to you now. And Father, thank you for his great example of what it means to be sons of the Most High. Thank you, Father, that we can live in his steps and see the great blessings day by day as your sons and daughters. Thanks for his sacrifice. Thank you that, Father, in this time of year where the vast majority of your people are looking to that great event of his sacrifice and his death and the greatest of all events, you raising him from the dead. Thank you that we can be your spokesman for truth and encourage people that it's by grace that we have what we have. Thanks, Father, for these things. And again, just for all that you have prepared for each of us today in that wonderful and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Anyone else? All right. Well, amen then. For now. That's great. Oh, well, okay. Tim and Holly and Kathy have joined us. Wonderful. Great you guys could join us. And Carrie's there. Hi, Carrie. Good to see everybody. Hey, this is neat. You know, I have it on, I guess, I don't know what view this is called, but I have all of you up there. Do you have that? You can do that too, right?
Yeah, rather that's called, that's called the romper room view, Don.
Yeah, there you go. So I like that. I hadn't been using that. I've been using just the speaker view so that when you open your mic and you speak, you know, you're the main person. So this is nice. Anyway, so, hey, it's, I guess the traditions are calling it Palm Sunday today, right? So quickly it comes upon us every spring, right? The Holy Week, as they say. But I just like to think that every day we live is holy because we are holy, right? So we are sons, we're daughters of the Most High God. We can live every day in appreciation for all he's done. So I'm sure there's some great testimonies that we got in line to hear today. So who would like to share something? Anything on your mind and heart?
I would like to share.
Okay. Cheryl, go ahead.
When you guys were away, I had the opportunity. I thought, well, I'll dial into this other fellowship that they've been, you know, saying, you can dial in anytime you want for like a year. And I thought, well, I'll just do that. And wonderful, wonderful fellowship of the married couple. They were wonderful and all. And but I have to tell you, I realized, and I know you're not supposed to compare, but I realized what a mature, wonderful, light beaming fellowship this is. And that's why when I prayed that we'd never take your fellowship or our fellowship for granted. Because, and then I thought about the great Woody Hayes and what he said. I think it was him. It's easier to become a champion than to stay a champion. Because sometimes you think you know it all. I mean, enough that you don't need a lot, but that we all need more. And we're all so mature in God's word here that, it's not that we've arrived, but sometimes we feel, I think we feel like, well, I'm full, I'm doing good, I'm doing great, but we can always, always learn and do better. That's all. I just liked Woody Hayes, so I wanted to say his name. Okay, thanks.
Some great old coach, wasn't he, somewhere back in the day?
Oh, Ohio State football, Buckeyes.
Right, okay. All right, good. All right, thanks, Cheryl. Anyone else have something? Steve, you're on mute. If you're saying something, hold on. Let's see.
Is it that one?
I think it's that one. You got to unmute your mic somehow, Steve. Yeah, you're still on mute. Yeah, you'll find it. It's got to be there somewhere.
How about now?
There you go. There we are. Right.
Steve. Yeah. Hey, everybody, by the way.
Hi, Patty. Well, I'm just, thank you. I'm just really grateful that Cindy's getting just a little bit better every day. She used to spend a lot of the day in bed because she couldn't do much more, but now she's doing all kinds of things. She's working on projects and she's seeing a few more clients, and she's getting just a little bit better every day. Cindy, say hi.
Hi. What I wanted to mention to you guys is that one of my friends is the coordinator of the inpatient and outpatient mental health, or physical health, mental health. And I talked to her and told her that since I'm licensed and I've been through it, getting fatal diagnosis and then kicking the shit out of them. And so I suggested to her, you might get a counselor. You might want to get a counselor that can come in and let these people know they're not afraid. And I see it kind of as a way, well, I see it exactly as a way to come in and give back what was given to me.
Wonderful. That's great, Cindy. That's great. Yep. It's awesome. Yeah. I know, you know, we've prayed for Cindy all these months, and I know many of you know the challenge that she's faced, and, you know, but both her and Steve have their trust completely and solely in God's ability to bring her through, and he's certainly done a wonderful job of that, and we're so grateful and thankful. So,
yes, yep. My fatal diagnoses have all turned to non-fatal diagnoses, and we're moving past all this fun stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Yay. That's right. Yeah, you know, it reminds me of a couple of times, years ago when you know, Sangha had come and he'd been teaching a lot of the things on healing that that he was learning, that God was teaching him over in India. And one of the simple illustrations he gave was, you know, well, okay, you go to a doctor and the doctor gives you the report, right? And so there you have the doctor's report. And then you can either accept that or you can accept God's report, which God's report is quite simply, by his stripes you were healed. And, you know, so you have the two. So which one are you going to go with? You know, and so obviously when we choose to go by God's report, he's faithful. So we're so thankful for that. Brilliant. Wonderful. So what else is happening?
Hey,
Andrew, go ahead.
Hey. Yeah, a bunch of stuff has been happening, but I am set in my intestinal fortitude that God will provide and God will heal. My brother and family, we've been dealing with Corona this last couple weeks, and I'm not even gonna lie, it's been pretty tough. It's been pretty hard, but well, I wouldn't say hard, difficult. Yeah, let me change my thinking with that. Hard is impossible. Difficult we can overcome. It has been difficult. But yeah, he got better Friday. He was able to get off the ventilator. And then things progressed that he needed to get back on the ventilator yesterday. Yeah, the doctors are saying all kinds of stuff. Like he's going to need constant oxygen for the rest of his life. And I'm like, he's 30 years old. No way. No, he's not going to need oxygen. He's not going to need all this assistance. And they're saying this all kinds of just crap. And I was sitting outside talking to God, smoking a cigarette. And I was just looking at the grass. Grass is starting to grow. And God just told me that, Andrew, as hard as you try, you by yourself, can you make a single grass braid, a single blade of grass grow just out of thin air? And I said, no, I can't. So you think those doctors can? I said, nope. And he goes, I can. So you want to listen to those people who can't do anything outside of what I can provide? Or you can listen to the fountain of living water. And I don't know. I was just outside speaking in tongues. And I was like, yeah, I am convinced that my brother is healed, that he's going to make a miraculous recovery. And no matter how long it takes, it's going to happen. He didn't get sick overnight. It's been 2 weeks. It's hubris of me to think that, oh, just because he's not healed right now, that God isn't there. God is there, and he is working. And Jesus Christ is there, and he's making intercession for my brother right now. There's just then all along the way, my sister, she even had to go back to the hospital. My mom had to go back to the hospital twice. And I got sick. And then everybody's calling me, oh, Andrew, and this and that. And I'm just, you know, trying to like hold my mind out, all the friends and all the family. Whoa, it's okay. But it's like, yeah, it is okay. I know that my God will provide. And they'll try to do that thing, oh, he'll provide, but it's like, no, there's no buts. Always he will provide. But yeah, and all this, it's like, okay, I know that God is still on the throne, and he is, yeah, I keep on saying it, he is going to provide, he's going to heal. You know, and it's something like, you know, before this happened, a couple weeks ago, my boss called me, and she was just like run of the mill. She did not like show up for work like 3 days in a row. And she called me and she said, Andrew, they said they're going to have to put some stents in my heart. And this is my boss at work. She's like, my blood pressure won't go down. They don't know why. They say they're going to have to put some stents in my heart. I said, no. They don't have to do that. And she was like, they don't? I said, nope. And she was like, well, why not? I said, it's all based on what you want. Do you want them to put stents in your heart? And she said, no. I said, okay. I said, well, you should have whatever you say it. And she goes, I can? I say, yeah, you can. And I was like, let's pray right now. So I prayed on the phone that she would be healed. They wouldn't have to do surgery. And then an hour later, she called me back. She goes, my blood pressure went down. And I was like, praise God. So it's like this. I know that it's available. I know that there's something that that I know that the healing is available. And this was just a couple of weeks ago that this happened with my boss. And then this happens with me. And this happens with my family. And I know why it's happening. Because, you know, Abster is messing with us. But we're not going to let him win. We're not. I appreciate your guys' support. Patty told me that you guys have been praying for us. And believe. We're believers. We believe. That's just us right there. We believe. Send the name. We got to do it. We got to do it. So my family is healed in the name of Jesus Christ. We will continue spreading the word, and we will continue loving people and giving people and giving to people. And, you know, I just really love you guys so much, and thank you for your support. And we're doing really good. Circumstances might say differently, but man, if we all through the time, all through the Bible, if we just looked at circumstances, we wouldn't have anything if we had gone based off the circumstances. But is it going to be our circumstances or God's circumstances? So sorry, I feel like I'm rambling now, but I'm just blessed to be here, and thank you guys.
All right, Andrew, thank you. That's awesome. That's great.
That testimony. Kind of so-called rambling is definitely, you know, you got something worth listening to. That's definitely not rambling. And it was a joy for me to get to know your mom just a little bit and to just see where all this strength comes from. I know she raised you, all your family, your twin brother, all of you, your sister, in the integrity of God's word, but especially in trusting God. And it's just really beautiful to see.
Thank you. Thank you.
And Cindy B. Say,
yep. You guys going for a drive now?
They're out partying.
They are. They're out living it up, living it.
I do have some good news for you later, Cindy, but I'll save it.
Yeah.
I'll text you later.
All right. Wonderful. What else? Anyone else?
I'd just like to share something I read yesterday or the day before in Mark, and you know, what Andrew's talking about made me think of that again. But it was when one of the times that Jesus with his disciples, and I don't know, spend a busy day, and they're by the lake or the sea, and he said, let's go over to the other side. But then they went on before him, and he went up into the, I think it says the mountains or the hills, to pray. And then he walked out to them later on, and they, you know, and you know, they were afraid. And I don't wonder if I'm getting myself mixed up here. I think that was another time when he walked out to them. But this is time he was with them, I think, in the ship. But there rose a great storm of wind and the waves and stuff, anyways. So, and he was asleep, and the boat, it says, started taking on water, and so they woke him up, you know, because they were fearing they're about ready to go down. And it says that he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? You know, and I was thinking about that in relationship to, you know, just that statement in relationship, or it, how God deals with us. And he wants us constantly blessed. He doesn't want the things of the adversary to affect us in our lives. You know, there's the one is against the other. You know, how can you be blessed if you are, you know, being battered about all the time. And, but, you know, he told him, don't be afraid, just you need to believe. And, you know, just like Andrew was talking about, you know, it's like, hey, you know, even your boss, I mean, is that what you want? you know, obviously she didn't want it. And say, okay, don't say those things. Let's pray and let's have faith, you know, but, it's, you know, it just, God's trying to get us to, you know, just believe him in regards to everything and walk in that believing and receive all those great things that he has for us. And this morning, severe thunderstorms going to roll through. And I was out on the porch before and I said, well, this is what I want. You know, I did, you know, the same thing. I said, like, this is what I want. I said, be nice to have a nice rain and that's it. And, you know, of course the thunder came, but we didn't get any high winds or anything like that. And we got a bunch of rain and it appears to be done. You know, it's just, I'm sure there's all kinds of people who are, you know, fearful. Oh my gosh, you know, the thunderstorms are coming, the severe thunderstorms, and you know, it's on the news, it's on the weather. So, you know, what are you going to choose to believe? And, you know, I like telling God what I want whenever something like that comes up. Is, you know, and there's times where it's going to rain. It's like, well, I'm sure that there's, you know, farmers, whoever need the rain, but, you know, I don't want as much rain here, you know, and things like that. But you know, it's just a wonderful thing to have the promises of God and to then walk out on them in spite of the storms around us. So that's what I wanted to share.
It's Matt. Yeah, rain at this time of year is always a wonderful thing. Wash away all that yellow stuff that seems to be all over everything.
That it did.
Yeah, and it does that. But yeah, you know, that's such a great thing to remember, is that, you know, it's about the authority that we have as sons of God. You know, we have great authority. Regardless of what circumstances and situations may appear like, we still are the ones who God has entrusted with great authority and great power. You know, we're his sons. He has seated us in the heavenlies. And the heavenly places represent the authority of God and his domain, his kingdom, the kingdom of God, which is overall, regardless of who's got the kingdom on earth at this point, you know, which it's just the adversary's planet right now. He's the God of this world, and he'll continue to be until God figures it all out in his timing and says, okay, enough is enough. But until that point, we are the ones who represent the kingdom of God, God's power, God's authority. We're the ones. And he's given us this great authority and great power, not just to show the world who he is and who he has made us, but to give us that control over our lives, that we can have things the way he desires for it to be in our lives. And he doesn't desire for anyone to be sick or to be, you know, less than health. Less than healthy and prosperous. He doesn't want anyone to be struggling financially. He's the God of all creation. He has cattle on a thousand hills. We're his children. He desires for us to have all things and be blessed. You know, and he makes sure that we know these great realities when we turn our hearts to him, right? When we just focus on him. You know, we don't see him. What we see are the things around us. We see perhaps, you know, the doctor's report or, you know, what they're saying. But then what is not seen is the power and presence of God in our lives. We don't see it with our five senses eyeballs, but we see it with our heart. And when we see it with our heart, then we have those great things come to pass. Sometimes they take a little bit of time, but they come to pass, right? Whether we calm the storm completely or we just make it easy to deal with, it matters not, because God has the big picture in mind. And when we speak confident in the authority of our words, right? This confidence we can have day by day, because we are sons and daughters of God. We do sit in the heavenly places on the right hand of God. We do have angels, you know, following us, guarding our lives on the right hand and on the left, before us and behind us, above us and below us. He has totally guarded our lives. We're in complete safety with him. And so recognizing that day by day, not getting cocky about it, right? Not thinking that we know more than our Heavenly Father, but we want to make sure that we think the way he thinks about us. And that's what the renewed mind is all about, right? Getting that new way of thinking. You know, we don't think like we used to think before we knew the grace of God, before we believed in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And we recognized that because of that, we're born again now of God's Spirit. We don't think the way we used to think, as being just, hey, I'm just a man. You know, what can I do about it? You know, well, how can I can't control the weather. And yet Jesus Christ controlled the weather when it was necessary, when it was needful, when their lives were threatened by it. He had authority and he exercised that authority. We do the same thing. We can do the same thing. It's just a matter of our choice. What are we going to choose to do? See? Do we choose to abide by the world's report, or do we abide by God's report? You are more than conquerors in any situation. We have this power. We have this promise. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. He gives us the victory. We've already won. We won the big one. And now we win every little battle. We can. That's our promise. You know, do we hit it all the time? No, we don't. Because and if you do hit it every time, then please let me know, because I'll confess you as my Lord. And yet we know that's kind of silly to even think about, right? But we know the one who hit it all the time, every day of his life. He made the right decision every day. He did what God instructed him to do every day, every moment of his life, even in the midst of some doubt at times, right? It's, oh man, I don't know if I want to do this. I don't know if I can do this. Oh, yes, you can. God encouraged him in those moments. The Father encouraged him, gave him the wisdom, gave him the inner strength, you know, to rise above the adversary and crush him under his feet. That's what we do. We can do the same thing. And we help one another do it. You know, when I'm a little bit feeble, I'm a little bit, you know, I'm struggling a little bit, you're there with your strength. You're there with your renewed conviction that God is with me, and as he is with you. We help each other. We strengthen one another with words that are inspirational from God, from the Spirit of God dwelling within us, to build one another's faith, as simple as they may be. You know, what do you want?
Yeah.
What would you like to do? What would you like to see? Sometimes those are the words of God that build faith in another individual. Just simple words. Right? They don't have to be old English, because we don't speak that anymore. But boy, you know, what a life God has called us to. What a blessing it is you know. And this is how we live our lives day by day. So great encouragement. And great to hear these great testimonies of the results when we do speak these words with confidence and trust in God. Great, great testimony, you know, to God's goodness, God's faithfulness. And the reality that, hey, it is possible for us to believe as Jesus Christ believed. It is. Yeah, well, he was Jesus. I mean, gee whiz. How could I walk like him? Well, he was a man just like us. And he gave us an example of what it means to be a son of God and how we can walk with God day by day. So we endeavor to do it, right? We sit out on our back deck and we say, hey, this is what I want. I want a little nice rain, but I don't want any violent winds. Not around me, buddy. No. See, this is what we desire. And God respects that desire. You know, I don't want to live the rest of my life in fear of anything. I just want to be in confident control of each and every day because I know who my Father is. And that's our lives, right? So, what else we got out there?
Hey, Donnie.
Yeah, Kathy.
Hey, I found a great verse in light of what we're talking about this week. And it's one that we all know, but until I started looking at some of the different translations, I don't think I realized how big it was. And it's in Romans 8:11. And it reads, if the Spirit of God that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And get the God's Word translation. It says, does the Spirit of the one who brought Jesus back to life live in you? ? Then the one who brought Jesus or brought Christ back to life will also make your mortal bodies alive by his Spirit who lives in you. And then the LSV really says it. And if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus out from among the dead dwells in you, he, God, who raised up the Christ out from the dead will also quicken or make alive, as we were taught, quicken your dying bodies through his Spirit dwelling in you. I mean, isn't that incredible? And so it just hit home for me that, you know, that Spirit that God placed in us because of what Jesus Christ accomplished, every time we utilize it, and just because it's in us, it quickens or makes alive our dying bodies. And I'm thinking, okay, there's no age limit on that. You know, it just takes knowing what's available and believing it. So I thought it was a wonderful verse.
Kathy, yep, that's wonderful. It's a simple explanation of why we can expect the things that we expect, right? Mm. Why can we expect healing? Why can we expect deliverance? Why can we expect length of days and long life? Why can we expect all these things? Yeah, because the Spirit of God dwells within us and it has a powerful effect on our physical bodies. It's great. Awesome. Yeah.
Hey, Donnie.
Yes.
Yeah. I have a small thing to share. It's a lesson, I think, in how we believe and walk with God. Karen and I went to a concert last night in downtown Macon, and Joe Bonamassa, by the way, if you know who that guy is.
I should have come down with you.
It was great.
It was just, he played for 2 hours without a break. It was just incredible.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome.
But anyway,
Lord, though.
I had been lifting to God for the last week or so for a parking spot downtown. No, wait for it here, because this past week has been Macon's Cherry Blossom Festival. So Saturday night, there were, I don't know, 20 or 25,000 people wandering around downtown Macon. And, you know, all the available parking spots were filled. Well, we're driving around. And, by the way, when I went to see my doctor last December, I left, Karen was with me, and I left the exam room for a minute. While I was gone, she snagged me a handicapped parking permit. So if anybody wants to ride around with us, I can park near the door now. So if, anyway, so we're driving around downtown Macon, trying to avoid oblivious pedestrians who are just wandering out onto the streets. And, got to the venue, which was the Macon City Auditorium. And Karen went, oh, there's a spot. And it was a handicapped spot directly in front of the building, right by the front door. And I
great.
I parked the truck and I looked at Karen and I said, I wasn't expecting this. You know, it was, but the lesson here is that, you know, we can, well, I don't, thank God that I'm healed of stage 4 lung cancer. Where's my phone? You know, you can ask God where your phone is. Nothing is too small or too little, or like a parking space. I was just it was a blessing. Like they say, I didn't expect this, but there it was. Plus, the concert was, like I said, unbelievable.
That's great. That's awesome. Thanks, Charlie. Yeah.
Was it sold out ahead of time?
Yes, it was a sellout.
Yeah, by the time I was told about it, it had been sold out.
Yeah. He's pretty cool. But, boy, you know, that is such – that's a reminder of when we were young. You know, when I was young.
We're still young.
I guess, yeah. Well, younger. When I was younger. You know, we used to do things like that. Nothing was out of our scope of including God in on it. You know, everything we included God in on, you know, right down to getting a parking space. You know, I'm going over to the mall. I don't want to walk a half a mile to get, you know, into the store that I want. I want a parking spot right up close. You know, I want this, I want that. Father, will you know, I'd really love a nice, you know, ice cream today or something. You know, whatever it was the big things that we all require God's help on. But then it was those little things. We always include God on everything.
Yeah.
Everything. And that's a great reminder. Thanks, Charlie. That's, that's great.
Yeah, that I think that was a really, really great point, because, you know, the great things and the small, like, you know, some of you may know that Andrew's brother was
he mentioned it
of that before, which is huge. So what can't God heal him of now and protect him during being on that ventilator? And I was thinking too, Kathy, you shared that verse. That is my all-time favorite verse. Of course, I have a lot of favorite verses, but I love that one. And I love the word dwell. If you ever want a really cool word study, you know, the Spirit of God dwelling in us means that it lives, it resides, it permeates, it saturates every single cell of our beings. Mm-hmm. And it quickens, it makes us alive. But we have to activate it by simple trust in God. That's really what it boils down to. Yeah. It's like turning the key in the car, right? And like Donnie said too, sometimes we hit it, sometimes we don't. Sometimes, you know, the adversary is roaring, but he's just roaring, you know? And so we just have to cast down imaginations, those distractions out there, those roaring winds, those, triggers, if you will, which I think I think in this day and time, there's so many, they're fiery darts coming at us constantly. And yet we cast down imagination. We pray for that parking place. We pray for that healing. We pray for making the right decisions. Sometimes it comes down to something as simple as that. What should I do, God? And, you know, but to include him in everything, it's just such a great, you know, anthem, I think, that we're all saying here today. It's really been some great stuff shared today.
Yeah. Yeah. We dodged a tornado Thursday night.
Ooh.
We got called to take shelter at midnight.
Yeah.
So we were all down and hunkered down in the shelter. Fayetteville was under high alert, but it hit just east of us. So we were blessed.
Good. Protected you, right?
You what?
The Father protected you.
Yes. And I guess we could pray for those people that were not so fortunate, but
right. Yeah.
We were.
Yeah, we pray for those things, you know, continually, because people do need help, even though they're not actively trusting or believing God. You know, God can still work mightily if we pray. If they're God's kids, we pray, we intercede on their behalf. So continue to pray for that. Anything else on your hearts?
I would like to share something that happened when I lived in Atlanta that I think fits in with everybody sharing. And it doesn't matter whether it's big or little, like you were saying, God will take care of it. Okay. I had a sinus infection. I went to Eckerd Drugs with my son, who was in like second grade then. And I said, you can go down the candy aisle and pick out one type of candy. So he did that. He comes. I had a sinus infection. It's like, let's get out of here. I pay. We get in the car. He takes it out of the bag. And I said, well, let me see that, please. And so he takes it out. And it was like a sucker, but it was called Bug Eyes. And it was like an astronaut outfit. And I look closer. The wrapper was not paper. It was like rubber molded. And so I rolled it off. And it was a perfect 4-inch penis. Yes, I swear. And so what I did was I said, I put it in the bag. And I said, Drew, I'm sorry. This is not a good candy. I'll get you something different. I was so spiritually pissed off. I unzipped one of my compartments in my purse and put it in there. Zipped it back up and said, God, you have to help me get this off the shelf. This will not do for little boys and girls to have that. It is really devilish. So I worked at a publishing company then, and I had my cubicle and I did my work, and I thought, well, I'm going to call Sean Hannity. That's what I think. That's what I said. Sean Hannity. I said, he's Catholic. And God goes, call him. So I go, okay. Sean Hannity was there. He only had a radio station back then. And so I'm working, and I told myself I will not call until my work. I don't have any work because I can't, you know, I'm at work to work. So like a month later, I walk into my cubicle and oh my gosh, there's no work. And I remembered the sucker. So I get it out. I call Sean Hannity, and his sidekick, Mike Rose, answered, and I told him what it was. He said, well, Sean will want to talk to you. And I said, but I don't want to go on the air. I just want you to tell him about the sucker that's in Eckerd's drugstore. And he goes, yeah, that's the family drugstore. And so I said, and he said, but he'll want to ask you a question. He'll want to talk to you. So I got on, and I didn't want to be on the air because I do Lucille Ball things and say things that I don't realize are funny until afterwards. And then my face turns red. So I get on there and we talk about, I said, no, it's like a 4-inch sucker. It's shaped exactly like a penis. And he said, And he goes, blah, blah, blah. He said, well, do you have it with you now? And I said, as a matter of fact, I'm holding it in my hand. And Pete and Mike Rose and Sean burst out laughing their heads off. And I'm going, oh my God. And I'm turning red in this cubicle by myself. And I, and after I told him about it, he said, can you get that to me? And I said, as a matter of fact, I can, because during that month waiting to call the right time, I found out that my boss, her husband works at Sean Hannity's radio station. I said, I'll give it to her. She can give it to Arnie. And he goes, Arnie, like, you know, he makes this big production over Arnie's name. So that's what I did. And I get off the phone and then I get work. So I'm back at work and I thought, well, I'll just turn on the station back on and see what's going on. I got on in time for this woman to be talking to Sean Hannity saying, Sean, this is so-and-so from Eckerd Drugs. We just want to let you know that we heard about the lady who called in about that candy. And we just wanted you to know that we have pulled that off of every Eckerd store in the United States. And I just like, it was like this big elevator thick door slammed shut. And I knew that God was protecting me because I stepped out of my norm, and that was just phenomenal. And there was nothing else I had to do. So I'll tag on this. Drew spent the weekend with some friends. I picked him up. We stopped to get gas later on. This another time. And at this gas station, I'm paying Drew's eye level at the candy. He goes, hey, Mom, there's that sucker. And they had it. I said, look, Eckerd Drugs took them off. She goes, well, and she took them off, put them in the back, and said she'd tell the manager. So it was just a phenomenal thing. And so God, even though we're just us, it is a spirit of God that'll really knock a home run out there. Yeah. I had a friend who worked there comes by and she goes, we heard that and none of us are going to mess with you. Laughed. So thanks for letting me share. I'm sorry it was so long.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
Is that that's still fine. Muted?
No. Oh. It's not. All right. Yeah. A lot of crazy things go on out there in the world. But God still works with us. That's good. That's awesome. All right. Junior, I hope, hope your little one was still sleeping.
Hey, Junior, is Jasmine with you and everybody?
It's lunchtime, so we had to go grab some lunch for the kiddos. But yeah, everybody's awake now.
Oh, well, hi. Glad you guys are here with us.
We're glad to be here. Glad to be here. How is everybody?
We're doing great. Well, what else is happening? Anybody have anything else?
Not to top that one, no.
You got anything on your mind there, Greg?
Well, that's a loaded question now, isn't it? There, Donnie Vaud.
Of course it is.
Well, I mean, I always have things on my mind and my heart relative to the word. I mean, honestly, it has been... with me, I just, for some reason, and God hasn't shown me exactly the reason for it. I ask, sometimes he shows me, sometimes it's like, you know, okay, we're just really not going to go there. But just, I've really ramped up speaking in tongues. It's been on my heart. I mean, I literally will wake up in the middle of the night. And all I can do is just start speaking in tongues like crazy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I'll check. And I don't think there's really, you know, it's not anything spiritual going on in the house as much as it is just spiritually going on in the world.
Yeah.
You know, and just the craziness that I see. And I see common themes, not only just with what's going on in the world, but at a more granular level with people in my work and my job. And there just seems to be these themes that... you know, there's this caste system now where there's this elite mentality and the rest of us are just little, you know, sheep for the slaughter out there in the fields. And You know, I have to bite my tongue. I have to suppress, you know, my mind and my heart and just go back to speaking in tongues. And, you know, God will tell me constantly, you know, Greg, just throttle it back and keep it simple, man. Just keep your head down, right? Keep your head below the fire line and just do what you do. You know, cause it's, there's so many distractions out there right now that are really, you know, I think the term that some people use are black flags. They're not real. You know, so it really is in my mind, you know, and we've talked about this, right? We talked about this at dinner about a month ago, that all this other stuff we see about political divides and these hate groups. And, you know, it's funny, but all of a sudden, you know, they start loosening up the economy again. And then the same old things start happening over again. So it's like, okay, look over here, look over here. Meanwhile, there's other things going on that, you know, God raises his hand and warns us to be vigilant in certain areas of our lives while the media and the world is trying to distract us somewhere else. So, yeah. You know, it's a constant vigilance, which, you know, I guess from the five senses perspective, if you were constantly vigilant, it would be exhausting. But when you're vigilant and speaking in tongues, it's refreshing. Mm-hmm. Right? Because God just continues to show you more and more and more. And of course, I'll ask God for some things now and again, and I know better because it's like, okay, it's not my word and I'm not going to reveal it to just you. You're just going to have to wait. But I ask anyway, I'm persistent. But, you know, maybe down the road, time will be right. But I'm an inquisitive bugger and, you know, constantly asking Daddy for more information and more information. And, you know, I'm sure he just kind of rolls his eyes at me sometimes and goes, would you stop? Just stop. Just, you're like a little kid. Just stop. So, but, you know, nothing specific. You know, everyone's doing well health-wise. I mean, we have to fight that kind of mentality, you know, inside the family about the, you know, and again, I have to throttle back because everybody has to deal with what's going on in their own way and where they are in their own walk with God. You know, but just continuing to deal with a lot of fear around the pandemic, you know, in the family and, you know, just things like that. So, but, you know, other than that, everything is good. I mean, we're blessed, we're healthy. You know, continue to see the believers that are here in Romper Room, their faces come to me a lot and I speak in tongues and pray for, you know, constantly praying, lots of opportunity to pray. Very blessed to see some people online on social media groups asking for prayer requests, which is just awesome because, you know, I don't know these people, but it's like, you know, my prayer to God is, okay, God, there's more than two of us. Your word says, so you do your thing, right? You know, he'll fill in the blank of whatever's going on in the name of Jesus Christ. So that's always wonderful stuff. So, you know, that's really it. I just love hearing everybody's testimonies. You know, it's like when I was going to say a few minutes ago, Andrew, man, you just keep rattling on, brother. You're just awesome. You're just a little ball of fire. So, yeah, you know, I love hearing, you know, those kinds of testimonies where God is having very personal conversations with people, showing them things. I mean, and the exponential growth that will come out of that will last a lifetime. So, you know, that's just that's what this is all about.
Hey, thank you, Greg. That's awesome. Yeah, very valuable tool that God has given to us, the ability to speak in tongues. Such a great lever for so many, many things that we face in life. I mean, we remember the teachings, you know, about the prophet of speaking in tongues. There's so much to it. You know, I think that little book that I put together on speaking in tongues is still available on our website. You can get a PDF copy of it and read through it and refresh, you know, your knowledge of those great benefits to utilizing that manifestation of the Spirit that we all have the ability to do, you know, because it is, like you mentioned, Greg, the the ability to deal with things and still be refreshed. That's the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. You know, the refreshing that comes when we depend upon it. And, you know, that's the thing that Jesus Christ emphasized also, you know, in spite of the realities that he was faced with, he still continued to give of that which he had. You know, we bring our mind and heart back to, you know, the last week of Jesus Christ's life in this time of year, because, you know, we're conditioned. It's Easter. It's Resurrection Sunday coming up next week. This is, you know, what's referred to as Palm Sunday, you know, because of the record in the gospel that describes our great Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all that he did for those that he was sent to minister to, for Israel, and yet still being faced with the rejection, just the wholesale rejection of his life and purpose. And yet he still managed, in light of seeing that, he still managed to continue to give to those who were receptive to him, and give in a powerful way. You know, not just giving, you know, just loving them, but showing the proof of that love, which was a manifestation of the power of God dwelling in him and healing and delivering. You know, he when he came into Jerusalem, we're all familiar with these records in the Gospels. You know, if not recently, then certainly way back when we went to Sunday school in our churches, if we went to church, right? You know, I remember so many times reading the gospel records in church or in Sunday school when I was a kid, and then going to church and realizing that, well, they're reading one verse. Where's all the good stuff? You know, where's the rest of it that we used to read all the time in Sunday school, right? But yet, you know, we read these things. We remember these great records of when Jesus Christ entered into Jerusalem as the king, their king, presenting himself as the king, you know, and their reception of him, but their reluctance to really say, hey, this is someone really special. They just basically said, well, you know, the multitude praised him. They said, you know, Hosanna to the king. You know, they laid their clothes out in the way. They broke down the branches and put them in the way to signify their respect and their reception of the king in victory. But, you know, they by and large wholesale rejected him some days later. But in spite of realizing that, he still continued to give. He still continued to give and to give the things that his father wanted to give by way of his life. You know, in Matthew, it speaks of the first time he entered. You know, we know that from a harmony point of view, he didn't just enter once in Jerusalem. He came in twice, but each one significant of something. The first time he comes as the king in judgment. The next time, in spite of the bad judgment over Israel, he comes to bless. He comes to bless because that's the whole of God's purpose with his relationship to his creation, is to bless them. To bless them. Whether they wholesale reject him or not, he still is there to bless the few who will turn their heart to him. When he came in, you know, he judges Israel. He begins the cleansing of the temple in preparation for the coming Passover. But then the great reality of what happens is in chapter 21 of Matthew. I just want to read this record because this is really the heart of God to his people. In all times and in all things and in every situation, in every circumstance, whether the multitudes are rejecting him or whether the multitudes are praising him with every breath they take, God is still wholeheartedly committed to blessing people, to bringing good to people. And it says, you know, after In verse 12, we'll read there, it says, "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves." Man, how many times do we hear of you know, these so-called Christian churches around that you just want to go in and knock the stuff all out of the way and get rid of it all because it means nothing. It has nothing to do with worship. It has nothing to do with really recognizing the greatness of God and all he has done by his grace through his son, Jesus Christ. How many times, I know I've felt that way a few times going places I've been. You know, you just want to knock stuff over and get it out of the way, right? Because it has nothing to do with God. And so Jesus Christ, seeing the heart of the majority of people, began to do what God inspired him to do. You know, to clean this stuff up. Let's get things ready for the Passover of Passovers, when the Passover Lamb of God would be given for all men. And he begins to prepare for that. This is what it is. It's the preparation for the Passover, right? The cleansing of the temple. "And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves." You know, you're just in here for the wrong reasons. It's still God's house, but you got it messed up. And then it says in verse 14, and here's really the heart, you know, in spite of that judgment of condemnation to Israel overall, you know, he says to them, the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. He healed them. That right there says so much. Because none of us are perfect. You know, we are perfect now in Christ. They didn't have that. But even in spite of their imperfection and the callousness of their heart, there were those among them that had a tenderness toward God and an eagerness, a desire to receive all that God would have for them. And they recognized Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and they came to him and he healed them. He healed them all. He didn't leave some to suffer. He healed them all. He healed them all. And that's what we can expect of God even more for us, because he has made us righteous in his son, Jesus Christ. In all that we have, because of what transpired over the following week and days, you know, the days and weeks to follow, up until that point of making the new birth available on the day of Pentecost to each and every one who would believe. We see the heart of God for his people. That in spite of our imperfections, God is there when we come to him. God is there in spite of the times that we doubt and fear, because we are human and we do fall prey to that stuff that the adversary does to us and endeavors to cause, you know, in our lives to cause fear. But in spite of that, when we come before God with our heart, he heals. He delivers. His son did that because the Father's will was that. And he always did the Father's will. He didn't send them away. He healed them. And that's what we can anticipate and expect of our Heavenly Father each and every moment of the day. Each and every time that we come back to him, that we bring our heart and life back to him. You know, sometimes we walk out there, you know, out in the back 40 out there somewhere. But then we come back home. We bring ourselves back into the throne room of our Heavenly Father, where our seats are, where we are seated with him. And he blesses us with whatever we need. He takes care of every need, every desire. That's our Father. That's our Father. And we can expect him to continue to do that for each of us, in spite of the circumstances, whether they're big or whether they're really seemingly insignificant and small. God wants to bless us. And that, I think, is one of the great points of learning when we look back at the reality of what Jesus Christ accomplished in those days. He accomplished for us that for which no man could ever do for himself. He did it for us. And we just simply enjoy it. We enjoy walking with our Heavenly Father as Christ walked with his Father. We enjoy the authority that he has provided for each of us as Christ enjoyed and utilized the authority that God had given to him. We enjoy the extraordinary privilege that we have to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to open the eyes of the blind, to heal the sick and cleanse the lepers. We enjoy that incredible authority and privilege to walk as Christ walked. And when we raise our vision to the same place that Christ had his vision as God's son, I thrill at the possibilities for each of our lives. For each of our lives. No matter how well we present ourselves in the flesh, no matter how well we may speak in public or whatever, or how poor we may speak in public, whether or not, you know, our blood pressure goes up or goes down, we still have this tremendous privilege. We still have this tremendous authority to make known. Because when we preach the gospel, we fully preach the gospel. And we demonstrate its power. Because we are believers, right? Like the name says, I'm a believer. I believe. So let's joy and rejoice in this time when many, many, many people around us are thinking of these things. Let's speak in tongues much and be anticipating the doors that God will open for us to speak as his sons and daughters, as those who represent the authority of not only the kingdom of heaven, but the kingdom of God. Okay. So that's what I had to share this morning. So why don't we pray and we'll hear some manifestations. Okay. So Father, thank you for your love and grace. Thank you for the way you continue to inspire us and open the eyes of our understanding so that we can not only walk with you and enjoy your fellowship day by day, but bring great light to this dark world, that we can not only proclaim your goodness and your grace, but that we can demonstrate your heart by healing and delivering those that are desiring your help, that you put them in front of our path, Father, that you give us the words to speak so that we can see your word run swiftly around this world, that we can see your name glorified above all else, and that we can see your son, our Lord and Savior, our big brother, see him glorified as well. Because he's the reason that we are in your presence and we're so grateful. Thankful, Father, for these things and for continuing to just stand by our sides in the name of Jesus Christ. Someone speak in tongues and interpret or prophesy.
I, the Lord thy God, have given you strength and love and the ability to manifest my spirit that lives inside you. Be bold, be strong, and do not faint in my word, because I will always cause it to come to pass.
And know, children, that I am your God, and I love you, and I will not lead you astray. So go out there and speak for me. Go out there and bring the lost souls to me. I will.
Okay, we lost you there, Alicia, but someone else?
Truly, I am God, and I will stand by your side always. I have you written on the palms of my hand, and I know every hair of your head. I know what you're going to ask me before you even do, but ask me anyway, because I want to hear your voice, and I want to bless you with all my blessings.
Anyone else? All right. Amen, then.